The problem of corruption of one kind or another exists in Jamaica, as it does in every other police department, in every country across the globe, in which humans are the police officers. It does not mean, however, that we should not continue the quest for a more perfect resolution of this vexing issue. As we seek to bring greater accountability, transparency, and fidelity to public institutions. With that said, were we to give credence to the Jamaican naysayers who criticize the police, one would walk away believing that the police department is so rotten that the only solution is to scrape it all up, put it in a garbage bin for it to be picked up for the Riverton dump. Sure, they want you to believe that the police is totally and completely corrupt. When they tell you that, put up a hand and say hush to the blathering gibberish and actually look at the facts for the real story. The cynics and detractors will tell you that doing a comparative analysis is the equivalent of supporting slackness in the JCF. Of course, that kind of nonsense is part of a cycle of unwillingness to deal with the issues of this nature objectively and honestly. The truth of the matter is that the police corruption is a serious degenerative cancer, which diminishes the moral high ground officers of the law must have in order to effectively do their jobs. Unlike in any other discipline, the stain and stench of corrupt police officers tend to stain and stink their colleagues with potential greater consequences. In the United States, for example, a cop asking an errant motorist for a couple of dollars to purchase lunch is literally non-existent because they're not destitute and able to find money to pay for their own lunch. That is not to say that in many cities across the United States, police do not rob drug dealers of their illicit gains. But they are generally paid enough of a living wage so they do not have to scrounge illegally in order to survive. A cop who asks a motorist for a bribe is an embarrassment to himself and to his department. A cop who falsifies a report and sends an innocent person to prison for a crime he never committed wrecks lives, families, and destroys communities. And so when we hold both scenarios up, neither is good. But one is far worse than the other. In a perfect world, I would not want an officer who pulls me over to ask me for money. But I'd much rather a cop ask me for lunch money because he's hungry, rather than a cop who planted drugs on me because he did not like my skin color. Now that we've done the parallels, I hope that you at least understand that in the greater scheme of things, the JCF is not irredeemable, despite what the naysayers tell you. Former Minister of National Security Robert Montague would certainly not have been my first choice for Minister of National Security. At the time he was given the job, I guess Montague realized that he did not bring much, if any, experience to the job. And so he set out to learn on the job. He did stumble like we all do, but if Bobby Montague did nothing else, he certainly endeared himself to the average cop, and he absolutely endeared himself to this ex-cop. Bobby Montague understood the importance of morale in a job like policing, and he worked to restore morale and with marked success before he was moved to a different ministry. Speaking on the constant bad-mouthing of the police, Bobby Montague spoke to a truth that many do not want to hear in our country. He said the inspectorate branch of the JCF argues that they estimate that the JCF is 5% corrupt. Conversely, the darling of the elitist class, Indicom, assesses that the JCF is 3% corrupt. Now, we would like to have a police department that is 0% corrupt. All of us would like to have that. But since we no longer source our police officers from the planet Utopia, we take the 3% and we work to lower that number. So much for the notion police officers, police cannot police themselves. It is important to understand that unless we fix some of the structural deficiencies of the police department, vis-a-vis low wages, poor leadership, and lack of resources, as they also exist across wider society, corruption will persist and will be exponentially difficult to eradicate. As was to be expected, Bobby Montague's call fell on deaf ears. in our country, which is essentially one of the most, if not the most, anti-police countries in the world, hating and berating the police guarantees instant fame and success. Given the high crime rate, the continued tearing down and disrespectful behavior directed at the police is directed tied to the trajectory of serious crimes. The government has not led by setting an example. It has not devised a strategy for the country to follow by supporting the police unequivocally. In fact, the Minister of Justice is openly hostile to the police and the rule of law, despite cosmetic appearances which seek to give an illusory effect that his ministry does. Not only that, shockingly, there are agencies within the government which are actively hostile against the police, something literally unseen in any other country. It defies logic that a government would tolerate one agency actively militating against another agency of the said government, least of all, one as critical as the agency tasked with national security. Not only is Indicom antagonistic to the police department, the Justice Ministry, under the leadership of Delroy Chuck, is inherently hostile and dedicated to being injurious to the police. Additionally, the Office of the Public Defender, another agency of the government, is openly hostile. That agency is conspicuously and gleefully working against the police department. The government does nothing. It is this classic personification of an entity cannibalizing itself to the detriment and chagrin of the Jamaican people who are law-abiding citizens. In recent times, the appeals court ruled that Indicom has no power under the statute to arrest police officers. That ruling also stated correctly that Indicom must investigate and submit the findings of its investigation to the Director of Public Prosecutions. At the same time, the courts opined that Indicom's agents may arrest police officers using their common law powers of arrest, the same powers every citizen has to arrest an offender if he or she observes a crime being committed. The latter part of the ruling, which speaks to common law arrests, was indeed asinine, as ordinary citizens merely arrest if they see a crime being committed. Indicom agents cannot and do not observe police officers committing crime. So whatever arrest they may have made must be deemed to have been illegal. Immediately after the ruling, the Commissioner of Indicom, Terence Williams, argued that the ruling was a win for him and his agency, as they had only arrested on common law. It is important to understand that since Indicom's agents cannot and have not seen police officers committing crimes, then the arrests they made were illegal arrests and were clear infringements of the rights, the constitutional rights of those officers. Since then, Terence Williams has filed a motion in the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council in England to stay the Appellate Court's decision and has reversed his original statement to the local press that the ruling was a win for him and Indicom, stating that he spoke too soon after the ruling. Indicom, as an agency of the government, is clearly a rogue agency which does not answer to the government, nor is it clear who is in charge of providing oversight of this critical agency. Immediately after the ruling, Delroy Chuck, the Minister of Justice, jumped into the fray, stating categorically that the intent of the Parliament was to give the power of arrest to Indicom at the time the legislation was drafted. That statement cannot be true. Regardless of the incompetence of the framers of the legislation, if the intent was to give powers of arrest to Indicom, which would essentially be an act of creating another police force, the language would have been clear and unequivocal. Since then, a few legal minds have argued that investigators should not prosecute their own investigations. Despite the statement of intent coming from Delroy Chuck that he intends to see that the powers of arrest is given to Indicom, Terence Williams has stated that he cannot wait for that to happen. This is a serious breach of protocol, if there was one. It seems that Indicom is operating without any oversight or supervision, a super agency answerable to no one, all while using the taxpayer money, almost $300 million of it per year, in addition to the slush of foreign money which pours into the agency's coffers to mount legal battles and challenges in court. So we have to ask, where is the precedence for this? Far from being an authority on this, I've decided to look at other countries in our hemisphere to see whether there exists any police oversight agency which investigates and does its own prosecution. In New York City, the Civilian Complaints Review Board, CCRB, is staffed by lawyers who hear complaints against the city's 36,000 plus officers. But charges are referred back to the police commissioner for disciplinary action. In cases where there may be criminal conduct by police, investigations are carried out and dealt with by the district attorney, as in all other cases. According to TheObserver.com, shockingly, the main reason police are unarmed is because the officers refuse to carry guns in the UK. They have a sensible reason for not wanting guns. Maybe Jamaican police should adopt this posture and not take on the stress of really doing policing the real way. According to The Observer, every time someone is shot by the police in the UK, the case is referred to the Independent Police Complaints Commission, that's the IPCC. In practice, this means the officer is investigated by his professional standards body automatically and can face the sack and prosecution if it rules against him. These investigations are lengthy, stressful, and carry a huge amount of risk for the officer concerned. In fact, they are so feared that not only do the police refuse to be routinely armed, specialist firearms teams struggle to find candidates willing to do the job. And I think this is what Jamaica is coming to. This is where Jamaica should be, because since they have decided to adopt the British system, they have decided to bring in a British type agency in a society and in a culture that is completely different than the British society in terms of its violence and the propensity and the proclivity to violence, then I think maybe the members of the JCF now needs to start taking a serious look at this model as well. The Indicom Act was drafted and modeled after this system in the UK. The fact that Hamish Campbell is in Jamaica is testament to that fact. Nevertheless, despite all of the foregone, the investigative agency, the IPCC, still does not arrest and prosecute cops who are to be charged with a crime. This is what Delaware Chuck wants to do. The report went on to say, quote, "To be clear, police have worked out that it's safer to be unarmed when fighting thugs and terrorists than it is to risk being hung out to dry by their leadership and the IPCC." That's profound, rather profound. And so I'm thinking that maybe this is something that the Police Federation in Jamaica should look at, and individual officers should probably start thinking of not carrying any guns. Most violent crimes committed in the UK, even terrorist acts, are carried out by assailants who use knives or vehicles as their weapons of choice to kill and maim. The reason for that is that it's incredibly difficult for people to get their hands on guns in the UK, which has extremely stringent gun laws, as opposed to the US, which has more guns than people, and Jamaica, which is awash in legal and illegal guns. And so for those advocating for Indicom, it is important that there is some clarity on this issue as it relates to why that kind of oversight, which may work for now in the UK, is extremely hazardous and foolish for Jamaica. If the government persists in allowing Indicom to do as it pleases, cops must refuse to carry guns as the British police have. We cannot ask our officers to go out and face dangerous killers, then crucify them when they use lethal force against those same killers. We'll talk again.